Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision and just order for the table a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's a beautiful morning.
All right. I mean, it feels like we're already been going, but welcome everybody to a very special edition of the Gojo Podcast. Mike Golic Jr. with me as always on the ones and twos, Brandon Newman. And Brandon, since we started doing this podcast, we have had plenty of people who have seen us and heard us talk about our moms. And we have gotten plenty of people, day one listeners, that have been asking for a mom pod for a long time. And so, since we've got Mother's Day coming up this weekend, we decided now is the time to pull the trigger. So very excited to have with us today my mom, Christine Golic, and your mother, Selena Newman, in the house. Moms, how are you guys?
Hi. Good. Good. So excited to be here.
Yes, very excited to be here. Thanks.
Oh my God. I'd be lying if I wasn't nervous for my mom's portion of things. But
what?
Your mom's. I predict your mom's going to be the star of this podcast.
Oh, no. Stop it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Brandon, I feel like you need to have a little more faith in your mom because, Selena, I don't know if you know this or not. You're one of my earliest memories with Brandon. Oh. Like, you cemented so much of our early bond. So I don't know if you remember, but during one of our first spring football games, we were out there at the same time, and I gave up a sack to Brandon. And in a stadium full of 30,000 people, I heard your voice cut through screaming, "That's my baby," in the crowd. And I looked across at your son, and I said, "Brandon, tell your mom she's welcome for that, because I'm going to get yelled at for it later on." So did you have any idea that you helped cement our bond very early on in life?
I did not know that, but I'm very happy about it. Because you two are two peas in a pod that nobody knew they didn't need. That the world didn't know that they needed.
This is true. This is true.
I'll say this, Mike, I remember that exactly. But before you said you're welcome, I believe the ref of the spring game looked and was like, whose mom is that?
Actually, I do remember that because after that, every mom became my friend and every guy on the team was like, oh my God, we heard you in the stadium. We heard your voice in the whole stadium at Notre Dame.
That slogan became synonymous with you too. Yeah. Like
that is
it did. True. Like,
it's true. Yeah. It's true. So.
But you know, that's just really what I say, what I've always said. I mean, that's my baby. He's really literally my baby, but that's my baby.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Ever and ever. Yeah,
thank you. Love you always. Love you forever. Thank you.
It is amazing. Like, and I think too, like your voice, your laugh, Mrs. Newman, like it reminds me so much of Brandon. Like it, what do you see most of yourself in your son? Because his laugh was also like one of the first things that jumped out to all of us when we first got together back in the day at that U.S. Army All-American game. Brandon's laugh became the most mimicked thing of the entire week. So as you're raising young Brandon, what did you notice that reminded him most of you about
okay,
him?
Okay, actually, like the laughter part, that part I didn't really see as me. He's very funny for sure and can definitely make a crowd laugh. I just think he looks like me. Like, look at that face.
I think he looks like him. He does. He looks like him.
That's it. I just love him. He was just a delightful kid. Like, everyone loved him. Just the nicest person. And so handsome. So, that's it.
Okay, yeah. She said I look like her and then complimented so herself. Yeah. And, as long as everyone's keeping
up. Stugatz is strong in your mouth, I tell you.
Mrs. G, ND Mom, at ND Mom, I'm going to ask you the question now. Obviously, your son, your firstborn, has your husband's name, but what in him do you see in yourself in him, whatever the question is?
Probably, whatever the question is, mm-hmm. Probably the neurosis of being the firstborn. I mean, yeah. we're both straddled with that, and we both take it very seriously, like, we try to be the peacekeepers in the family and feel the responsibility of like holding the family together and whatnot. So I would say it's more of a mental thing.
Yeah. No, us. That definitely stacks up. Like I always try and explain to people because they see me and I've been on air with Dad before and we seem very similar personality wise because we're both out there like that. My dad doesn't have a care in the world. Dad doesn't think about any of life's big problem, doesn't stay up late at night thinking about the way other people do, having their mind racing. He's just see ball, hit ball. Wakes up, does things, watches TV, goes to sleep. Me and my mom are the ones late at night thinking about the state of the world, contemplating the mysteries of the universe. Yeah. So yeah. That is definitely the, like, I am an offensive lineman because of my mom, 100%.
Okay. 100%. Okay. 100%. Yeah.
And of course, yeah, your dad didn't have to worry about anything. He has that beautiful wife. I mean, she takes care of everything. Like, that's one thing I remember about her back in the day. I just love her. Like, she would organize things, and she's always like the best hostess, and she would get you to do things. She got me to do a marathon walk thing. I don't do that. But she's so sweet and just asks so nicely.
Sydney tells me, all the kids tell me on a regular basis, you can't die before Dad. You can't die before Dad. Like
what would they do?
He said, that guy won't know what to do. Like Sydney said, I'll set him on the couch every day with his iPad and turn it on like a little kid, and he'll still be there like 8 hours later. So, I mean, he's not hard to figure out. So,
Okay. There was a part of this that we try to plan something going into this conversation. And one thing I wanted to ask you a question about my friend, right? Okay. Specifically just like who he is, right? Did he always eat food like it was about to be taken away from him?
Yes, always.
Always. Wow.
Always.
Don't answer so fast, Mom.
Always. I mean, the hand is always like I don't know if it still is, but it used to be like almost wrapped around the plate, like he was in defense mode, like yeah, yeah. Yeah. We kept saying, no one's going to take it from you. Do you still eat like that, Mike, even living alone?
I no joke, I went to breakfast at a place called Martha's in Hermosa Beach like a couple of months ago, and I was eating breakfast by myself, and I was just sitting there eating the way I normally do, which is like you said, like it's my last meal on earth, and yeah, everybody in the restaurant is fighting me for it. And I look up, and the waitress that was coming back over to refill my water stopped and looked like she was watching Nat Geo, like she was watching two lions eat a gazelle. It was the most scared I've seen another person in a long time. And that's the only time I felt kind of ashamed, because she was terrified of me. She was legitimately scared of me.
Yeah, I don't know how he got that way. Yeah. Like, Jake didn't steal. Nobody ever stole your food. Like,
right.
I don't know. Survival instinct, I guess. Like,
I guess. Yeah.
That also makes you an offensive lineman.
It truly does. Yeah.
All right. And so wait, now the question, Selena, I want to ask you about Brandon is, because we know Brandon's one of the funniest guys I know, when did you first know he was like a legit comedian? And now, are you worried about ending up in a stand-up sketch now that he's back on the stage?
Well, I've already been in one. I'm worried about some of the later ones, but, you know, he makes fun of his name. He never liked his name. And he has a joke. It is the funniest thing. He says, black people are the most unique namers of all time. And the two that had me came up with Brandon.
Brandon, let me ask you then, what if you could name yourself anything, what would you name yourself?
Right.
Demontrantres, or like, you know, I like the name Himshad growing up. I saw it in a phonics book. I thought that was fun.
Like, maybe that could be your altered ego, like on stage. That could be your stage name.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll say this. I love my middle name. My middle name, Jarrell. And I thought, like, you know, my parents probably just wanted me to stay black on the inside forever. But like, I think Jarrell plays.
And really, Jarrell is just because we wanted to name you BJ.
Which is my family name, but also led to all kinds of crazy problems when I got around the white kids in school with like BJ, 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 and I was like, I don't get it. And then I learned about blowjobs.
And then you said, aha, that's what they were talking about.
Oh my God. I never knew.
Birth control.
Damn those white kids.
I don't mean to put race in this, but you know, black girls, teenage growing up, we don't know nothing about that. No. I'm sorry.
Oh, mom guess.
I didn't know.
Hey, man. I can say, total accident. Could have happened to anybody.
Yep.
Man, wow. if you're listening out there in the podcast audience, I have referred to Brandon by his government name many times off the top of the show here. It's probably going to have to be BJ now. I feel like I have to honor your mother's intentions and make it BJ now.
I'm sorry.
I don't think she's really sorry.
No, I don't think she is.
You know, we
got
to get
Brandon.
Back
you said you wanted a nickname.
If I'm gonna be the in jokes in his comedy routine, he's got to get some of it back.
Hey, he always needs new material.
That's
so
true.
Yep. I think he got some now.
I see that.
He can't stop thinking about it.
I don't
it
look
now
at his face.
Got that faraway look in his eyes right
now.
Yes,
he does. He's glazing over.
All right. To bail Brandon out a little bit, obviously, big part of this podcast has been, you know, our friendship, our shared experience in sports. Selena, you talked about it. You and my mom met through sports, all these different things. So I'm curious for both of you guys, and Selena, I'd say starting with you, what was your experience like as a sports parent growing up with Brandon, you know, starting off when he started playing earliest, but, you know, for a guy that all of a sudden had this trajectory of going and ending up playing big time Division I college football.
Oh, it was amazing. First of all, I love football. I mean, I'm not a Golic, so I don't love football like you guys. But I love football. Like, it is my life. So when he came out bigger than everyone else, stronger than everyone else, and then like football on top of it, woohoo! So for me, it was perfect. I mean, and you know, like even Little League, the 4 days a week practice and plus a game on Saturday. And then when he went to high school, they wanted him to play on all three teams, but we said no, only two. So we have two games a week in addition to practice. But I was there all the time. Like, I absolutely loved it. Loved every moment of it.
Was there ever a concern you had about him going away from home to college, the decision to go to Notre Dame? Like, what was that like for you guys as he made the college decision?
I think for me, it was exciting and a little, at the very last minute, I just got into my feelings and I wanted him to stay home. And so I forced him to go to U of L to look at the stadium. And so the coach was making all the promises and we were looking out over the field and I'm like, Brandon, okay, you can go here. He looked at me.
Who was the coach?
It was Crackthorpe. Petrino was there. And
that's
then
what
left.
I was wondering if it was Bobby Petrino. Yeah.
Brandon looked at me
the entire time. That's why I was like, I'm not Brandon going to Louisville. While Petrino was there.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even interested then. But Brandon looked at me like I grew horns. He looked at me like I was a crazy person. He said, he really seriously, this is the only time I saw him really angry at me. He's like, Mom, you cannot help me with my football decision.
Honestly.
Don't talk to me about football anymore.
I was dumbfounded. Like, I was like, I thought we were like, what I actually said to her was like, Mom, I don't think you can help me with this decision moving forward. Like, I was like very, because like whatever the last coach that talked to her was the school that she wanted me to go to.
Seriously? Oh, okay.
Like we were like, I had committed to Notre Dame. And then Jim Harbaugh really wanted me to go to Stanford, and he went to my mom's school and was like recruiting her on it, and then she would call me and was like, I think Stanford's a choice. I was like, Mom, like, just I can't.
He made me promise that you would at least visit, and I'm your mom. Why can't I make that promise?
Because I never did.
Look, I knew you were going to Notre Dame. There was never a doubt. You guys were like, what was there? 19 of you guys in the bowl game, and you guys were such good friends. And you know, I had no doubt that you were going. But I thought you'd take it. We could go to California for a trip. You know.
That is true. Among my many regrets, or actually not many, among my few regrets of recruiting is maybe not taking a few more visits on somebody else's dime to try and check that out. So maybe a trip to California, Brandon, wouldn't have been the worst thing. Palo Alto's nice. We got to go there a few times.
Oh, my gosh. And they had a great pitch. He's like, you know what players do to make money? EA Sports is around the corner, and they test video games for $75 an hour. And at the time, I wasn't considering how short that money probably went in Palo Alto, but you know,
that's true.
All things considered, you know, end up going to Notre Dame. But yeah, that's an important part about it. My mom mentioned the bowl game, but it was the U.S. Army senior All-American game.
Yeah,
and like we became like really good friends. Like all of us, I think there was 18 of us that were committed to Notre Dame at that time.
Yeah,
we just, you know, we were just kind of like always communicating, and it was like. Like, I can say that Mike and I were friends before we got to Notre Dame and, like, not be facetious about it.
Right.
No, it's what I always tell people. I've known my friends since I was, like, 17 years old.
Yeah. So, Christine, how about you? I mean, I'm sure Mike didn't have a choice, but how did that feel?
I can't believe he's asking this question. This seems like a therapist question for me, like, because my time with the kids in sports was always interesting because – there were certain expectations with the last name. So it always put an added layer on everything. Mm-hmm. But at Notre Dame, I always felt like I was the person who had the sunshine, like life was great, but there was always still a rain cloud because Jake struggled while he was there. So, you know, it was interesting. You know, you're only as happy as your least happy child.
Right.
And so it was difficult, but it was still awesome. Like the national championship experience, like, wow. I mean, a once in a lifetime thing for sure. But yeah, it was a mixed bag for me. There's no doubt about it. Like, you know, you just want it for your kids so badly. And when it doesn't work out or it works out for one, it makes it interesting for sure. Yeah.
What about like the Little League stuff too, Mom? Because those are the things that I remember very little of. Like the other day, you were sending me pictures from my Pop Warner team and stuff when Dad was back in Grandma Kate's house. I remember some things about Pop Warner football, but what do you remember as like me, Jake, and Sydney were first getting into sports?
Oh, I mean, it was great. Like we were so into it and we loved it so much, but we tended to be the parents that were Switzerland at all the young kid events. Like we kind of sat over by ourselves because we didn't want to be like by people who were disparaging the coach and whatnot. But it was very exciting and very fun to watch. And like, we were like you that we were at every game and, you know, we just cherished it so much. It was so fun to watch them. I mean, it was the best time of our life. No doubt about
Definitely.
It. Definitely. Yeah. The swim meets were long for Sydney.
Oh, I bet.
Well, I was going to say, Mom, what was tougher, the swim meets with Sydney and trying to get her cap just so, or trying to get me and Jake to put on weight at home? Ooh. Because Brandon, as you well know, putting on weight was difficult for the Golic boys, especially as we got older there. And so Mom took that as her like personal mission in life was to stack weight on us in high school. And one of us was receptive to it and the other was not.
Guess who?
Mike could eat.
Jake. I would make Jake sandwiches. We'd find them stuffed in protein bottles. Like when we were moving, we found them like in the movie room, like tucked away. Oh yeah. Like,
we found a petrified peanut butter sandwich in a potted plant on top of a shelf.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it was interesting. I would say the eating was harder than the swim cap for Sydney, but Sydney was a tyrant with the swim cap. Like she'd be down behind the block and she'd go. And I'd have to go down there and I'd have to put it on her. And if it wasn't just right, I'd have to do it again. Like, I mean, you know, I was her lady in waiting.
Well, there was that sweet spot where they were all there thanks to Mike's fifth year.
Yes.
Like, obviously, I can attest when the struggles that Jake had at Notre Dame, I had some similar ones when it comes to just trying to get on the field. So I understand that, but that had to have been pretty special to have everyone in one area code.
It was awesome. It was one semester only and it was great. And it worked out that like for the national championship, Sydney swim like winter break swim trip was to Miami. Ooh. That year. All the prior years it had been to Hawaii and she's like, we're going to Miami this year. And she was bummed. And I mean, it worked out perfectly. Her and all her friends were at the game. Like all the stars aligned for that one. And it was awesome except for the game. So
I can say all the stars aligned except for one part.
But you know what? There was only two teams and we were one of them.
No!
So,
True.
One of my biggest regrets though is that, and Notre Dame, I think, really dropped the ball on this, is like we have no family pictures on the field or anything from we have nothing together at the national championship. Aww. Like and that's kind of sad. Like I wish they would have made a better point of you know, letting families at a practice or whatever get on the field and but you know what? We were there and we have the memories, so it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah.
So but yeah. So
awesome.
So I hear all the time and I'm the only one of the four people on the Zoom who's not a parent. So I don't have this feeling yet, but, and Brandon hasn't gone through this just yet because of how young the boys are. But I always hear from people how difficult it is watching your kids go out there and play sports, that kind of helpless feeling sometimes. And so I'm kind of mangling a question that Brandon wanted to propose, which is for you guys, which is harder? Childbirth or watching your kids play sports?
Well, one is physical pain and one is like emotional pain. Like, so they're really two different kinds of pain. but at times it was sports. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like when you give birth, like you do it and you get through it and then you kind of block it out.
Yeah.
Like, but I feel like that emotional feeling of being a parent and watching your kids kind of stays with you forever. So that's my take on it. How about you?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like, you know, at the end of all that labor and how hard it is and how awful it is, you're holding a little baby that you've never loved like that before. So it's like,
exactly,
it's okay. You know what I mean? But when you're watching them play sports and things are going well, or if they get injured, oh my God, you know, fortunately with Brandon being the big guy, you know, most of the time I didn't have to worry about injuries with him, but I would worry about him hurting someone else. Like, that was a real concern for me that, you know, I will say definitely with his boys, as much as I love football, I'm glad they play basketball. I'm glad they love basketball. Like when they're playing basketball, I'm like, yeah, you're the best. Like, ooh, look, I tell Carter, I'm like, yeah, you got hot.
My mother is talking about my 3-year-old and 1-year-old shooting basketball on a Fisher Price rim, and they have graduated to like the rim behind the door, and she's saying, I'm glad they play basketball.
So, Brandon, have you put any of them in a like a stance? Have you practiced a football stance with them?
Oh my gosh. I have not. That's actually, I have not, but they know that daddy played football, and Carter just recently, obviously I was just in Notre Dame with Mike, and he's at school telling his teachers that he's going to go to Notre Dame too, because that's where his daddy is at right now, and that's where he went to school, and that's where his mom went to school and stuff like that. So I was like, I came back and talked to Mike. I was like, oh, this is when it starts? Like,
Carter can throw a ball. Carter can throw a football. Like, I'm serious. I'm the one that screamed, that's my baby, about my son a long time ago. Grandparents is a different thing. It's on another. Oh my God.
It is.
It's amazing.
Yep.
So I already see that with him already at 3. I mean, he can throw the ball so well that I want him to keep playing basketball.
It's like a little too well. It's a little too well. Oh.
Oh, that's it'll be interesting to see now.
The one I'm imagining the horrified look on Selena's face when she comes over and the boys have just involuntarily started doing Oklahoma drills in the living room against each other like a college spring break video. I will say the one thing I've noticed in seeing videos of especially Carter is he runs exactly like Brandon. They were running next to each other in a video, and it was, I understand genetics now because it was a carbon copy. Mom, am I wrong?
You're right. That boy's going to have his hand in the dirt. Sorry. Yes.
No, I know.
No.
Listen, and my wife is just thinking, she played basketball in high school and in growing up, and she's like, what did she say? Like an hour and a half indoors versus 3 hours outdoors. Like, so she's pulling for the basketball for all the wrong reasons.
Wait, Mom, because I was with Brandon and he mentioned it's already taking root with Carter, do you have any advice for parents who are looking to brainwash their kids to go to the school they want them to go to? Because I always tell people, you and Dad sat me down before the recruiting process, me, Jake, and Sydney, and said, you guys can go wherever you want. Doesn't matter that Dad and all his brothers went to Notre Dame and you and your sister went to St. Mary's and all this stuff. But I always joke, we had so much subliminal messaging around us as kids, it didn't matter. So what is your advice to parents like Brandon and Michelle who are trying to brainwash their kids to South Bend?
You have to take them there regularly, and then you take them to the bookstore before school starts, and they get all their school supplies at the bookstore.
What?
So every time they open their notebook, it says University of Notre Dame on the front. When they write with a pencil, it says Notre Dame on. I mean, I swear to God, I did this. Like, all their school supplies came from Notre Dame. So every time they went to do their work, they were kind of subliminally reminded of what they were reading.
Wow. Evil genius. People think I was joking about that stuff. Yeah. This was calculated.
No,
that is next level.
Yeah.
That's the, and I listen, it worked because we were obviously, like I said, we were just back in South Bend.
Yep.
And we were with some current students that are not from South Bend. And we were having a conversation about if we would live in South Bend.
Yep.
And Mike, first one, this is the only place I've ever really called home. Like, I'd be here in a heartbeat. Like, and I said, I turned and looked at it. I was like, oh, I mean, I love a permacloud and I love the Midwest. So, like, and I love cold weather, you know, big body weather.
Yeah.
So like, I'm down with South Bend, but to hear it from Mike, I was stunned. But yeah, it's Mike loved it. It was the pencil.
Yeah, it was the pencils in the notebook. Yep, it was for sure.
Well, you know, Michelle is third or fourth generation Notre Dame.
Fifth generation.
You know, yeah. I'm just gonna give her that little tip because, you know, we gotta make her dad happy.
Yeah, there we go.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep it all rolling. Yeah. I saw how much Brandon bought from the bookstore too. I got to send you the gift card, by the way. He's doing an effective job right now. All right. So you guys have started
proud
them
of
off
you,
on
Brandon.
The right
proud
foot.
Of you.
No, and we wear sweatshirts. One time I was meeting Michelle at the grocery store, and we all three had on a Notre Dame sweatshirt, same color, same wording, and we looked at each other and smiled and talked about it and took a picture. Carter too, as well. So Carter didn't even get it, but he already knew, like, yeah, this is something special. We all have them, so yeah. They're getting it.
Yes.
Yep. Slowly but surely, you've got plenty of time. You're doing a good job. So keep up that good work.
The pencil right, books.
Yeah,
I want to open this up so we ask some of our listeners and people on Twitter to submit some questions for you guys. And so there's some good ones in here. And while we're talking about us as kids, grandkids, young kids, I wanted to get to this question first from Magwap, who said, "What was your son's toxic trait as a toddler?" He said, "I have 3 3-year-olds. One can't stay clean. One hates to be dirty. And one won't listen and laughs in my face while waving a finger. Na, 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 na." So,
oh my God.
So Selena, I would ask you first, what was Brandon's toxic trait as a toddler?
I think the love of food and how he had a good palate at 3. I mean, look, we literally would go to restaurants and see what he would order, and my mother would not order her food until he ordered. And I'm talking about from 5 on. So
the best thing he ever ordered?
I'll say at 3, it's his love of food. But he wouldn't let anything touch. Like, nothing could touch. No carrots could touch me. And now he throws everything together. I'm like,
together?
Whose son are you?
Oh,
Mike,
Brandon.
Mike, to answer your question, what's the best thing I ordered? You guys remember Chi-Chi's back in the day?
It was a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes, the Mexican restaurant Chi-Chi's. They had a seafood burrito that I ordered for the first time at the age of 7. And then I think everyone else, like my grandmother especially, was like, you know, give me, like, I remember being in the car hearing my grandmother on the other end say, like, "Give me whatever BB's getting."
Brandon.
And okay, last thing about me being fat and living food. My dad has a story that he would have to drive out of the way of a Popeyes on the strip in Detroit, because if I would see the Popeye sign in the distance, I would unbuckle myself from the car seat and do a Popeye's biscuit dance and beg my dad to go get the biscuits.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are the things that have been told to me. You know, I don't remember.
Oh my God.
And Mike?
Mike's toxic trait wasn't nearly as toxic. A couple things. When he was about a year old, he started headbutting everything. He literally had...
Mike's toxic trait wasn't nearly as toxic. He just started giving himself concussions at 1.
He wasn't giving himself concussions. It's okay.
If he got mad, he'd headbutt a wall. He'd headbutt a toy. He headbutted the balloon, a string of a balloon one time. He got mad and was looking for something and just headbutted the string of a balloon. Yep.
Didn't I headbutt Jake once in his bouncer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jake was not off limits. That was the other toxic trait, is that he never let Jake talk. Like Jake would say, start to say something, and Mike would finish it for him. No. And I think he still kind of does that, actually.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, that's persisted.
I mean, Jake never got a word in edgewise. Mike was a talker from the very beginning.
That's amazing. And a headbutter. Because, listen, we just recently got together, and Mike was slightly inebriated, I think it's fair to say, and in Jacksonville. And the way he was wrestling me, like we were in the locker room, I was like so surprised. I was like, Mike, we're now 33. Like, why are you ramming me in this beautiful height?
Bro, listen, after enough Bud Lights, you can be 6 years old again. Brandon decided to take those pictures. Speaking of being 33, Brandon decided we were back in college and he was going to take those pictures and post my drunk ass on the internet from the show handle. Oh, so.
You looked okay to me. Like, I didn't post a picture. I didn't post a video.
Did you take it down?
Oh, no.
Oh, because I don't think I've seen it either.
Thank you. He looked okay. He was like kind of doing like cute, like pumpkin spice girl vibes. Like, I'll send you the video. Actually,
I love your TikToks. You guys have to do more. You're the best.
Yes.
Seriously. Goodness. I don't know if people really know, but you two are great dancers. I mean, seriously. I'm not talking about TikToks, but you two at parties, I want to see you two on the dance floor. So keep on doing those TikToks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's that was what we learned on our trip back to South Bend. We got to, so we hosted the Oscars with two of the women's volleyball players, Paris and Hattie, who had to spend a whole afternoon teaching us how to do TikTok. So we were fortunate to have patient teachers, but we do, you are absolutely right, bring a lot of natural ability to the table.
You do.
I'll toot our horns on that. Speaking of that, Lori Briscoe asked, what were each of your first impressions when you met the other's son?
Oh, that's good.
Well, I think the first time I met Brandon was at the Army All-American game. And I met you like in a group. So I don't really have an individual recollection. But I do remember when Charlie Weiss was recruiting Jake and he was at our house. It was obviously a year later, I told him, I said, and I truly believed this, I said, you have a special bunch of guys in that class before Jake's. I said, their bond and who they are, I said, it's a special bunch. And I was right on, because you guys all have turned out remarkable and are always there for each other and everything. It's truly a great class.
It is. So. They are a great group of guys. I'm going to be honest. You know, the name follows or comes before the child. The senior comes before junior. So meeting you, I was already impressed. No, really, I was impressed that you were such a great kid, so nice and mannerable, and there was no sense of entitlement or, you know, I'm better than other people. And your work ethic matched Brandon's, and you guys, you know, did stuff together in college. Everybody go look for their former YouTube. What was it called?
I'm going to say, she's not going to pull out
our
name.
It was Our Team, Our Story.
All those wonderful clips and videos were the two of your work. And it was amazing. And you're amazing. And I'm just glad to know you.
I told Mike and Jake, I said, you guys were a decade too soon. Could you imagine? Like, you could have sponsors and stuff now. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, a Trick Shop Monday. Yeah. Like, it could have been a whole thing.
Everything. Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was great.
Time is cruel with that
one. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a couple buffet places I'm thinking of specifically. Poster child of in South Bend.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Sure. Welcome to Trick Shop Monday, sponsored by Golden Dragon.
Martin's Supermarket, Martin's Side Door. Oh, yeah.
Great times, great times.
All I ever said. This one was from Kathy Angelo, who is a proud friend of Notre Dame Twitter.
Yep.
She asked, what were the logistics of having multiple children involved in after-school sports and after-school activities for you guys?
Yeah. So Brandon has an older brother. His name is Lance. And Lance actually plays soccer. So I would And by that time, I was divorced. So basically a single mom, but I was here and my mom was here. So me and my mom would like have to split duties. Like she would go to Brandon and I would go to Lance, or she would go to Lance and I would go to Brandon. When they were really little and they played soccer for the Y, I would literally sit in the middle of the field and watch each of them play on the other, you know, turn my head and watch. So after Brandon came, went to Lance's high school, he's 2 years behind him, Lance actually joined the football team, and he was pretty good as well. And so that was fun when they were playing together the same sport. That was amazing. Yeah.
It's always fun when they play together. Yeah.
Mike, I have to make this reference now that my grandmother's mentioned. She would take me to football practice when I was in youth league. And she don't know what time practice starts. She would only go when I tell her it's time to go. Mike, I was late for practice every day because I would watch Dragon Ball Z. I watched the end of Dragon Ball Z. And then everyone at practice, you know, I'd miss like the beginning of warm up. I would be there for the big lap, you know. And then everybody was like, what happened? You know, with Dragon Ball Z. The only thing they're really concerned, they're like, they're telling you what happens on the next episode. So that was a little grandma hack I had.
How old were you then?
Oh my gosh, probably like eight.
Okay.
Seven or eight. Yeah.
I love it. Oh my God. As far as my kids, I felt like a hamster on a wheel a lot of times because the town we lived in, they mostly did their sports on the other side of the mountain, Avon Mountain in West Hartford. So there'd be times where I would like drop off one, go back. And by the time that I got home with Mike or Jake or both of them, Sydney was done with swimming and I'd have to turn around and go back. I'd literally be in the cars for like 2 hour stint, but going like, you know, 5-10 miles. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I remember about that is that you just, you grind.
You make it work. Right.
Yep. So yeah, no, now do what you gotta do.
Now that I'm a father and just like this young age and see like my wife doing all, like it's the only solace you have. And obviously Jake and Jenny are experiencing now, like with being new parents, the only solace you have in like how difficult parenthood is that everyone clearly must have done it already.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I guess I can get through this because everyone else seems to be on the other side of it, but like it is impossible. Yeah.
It is. And you're forever changed after it. You're exhausted. Yeah. Like, you know, it takes until you're like 50 and not be tired anymore. I mean, it's
true. Oh, good. That's what you have to look forward to, Brandon. Yeah.
it's true. Until they leave for college and they're on their own time, you're still always
for
tired.
For sure.
This is.
It's your new
normal. I had a guy, we were at a bookstore recently, and a guy just walked up to me after seeing me with the kids and stuff. He was like, you got 20 years, and then guess what? One of them just won't leave.
That's Sydney. She's married, and she still doesn't leave. So we obviously did something wrong.
This is my favorite part, by the way, of adulthood is as you get older, your parents start just telling you more of the truth. Because when everyone's young, everyone gives you the like public microphone answer about parenthood and all the things. Like for you guys now, you both have kids that have kids. So what has been like the realest parenting advice that you've given any of your kids as far as what to actually do now that we've gotten through all the pleasantries?
I tell my kids before they even have kids, make sure you're ready to give up your life. If you're not ready to give up your life, you're not ready to have kids. Like, your life does not belong to you once you have kids. Period. Point blank, period.
Yep.
That's all I can say.
And they didn't choose to be born. So you owe it to them to give them your life.
Yep.
Because, that's your job. Yep. So, That's the most realist thing there is.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Like, if you're not ready for that,
Don't do it.
So, no.
Yeah.
Part of why I'm 33 and single. So I listen to the advice and I take that very seriously.
Occasionally, I'm with your dad and I say, I think Mike might have it all figured out. Like, you know, he's around kids when he wants to be. You know, he can be everybody's favorite uncle. Yeah. And then he just goes about his life and, you know, does what he wants to do. And
And then I'm like 8-year-old Brandon. I sit there and watch Dragon Ball Z and I tell everyone what happened.
Yeah.
Wait. So now, guys, it is Mother's Day weekend, and so I wanted to give the floor to both of you. I know one of these answers, but I don't know the other. The best or worst Mother's Day gift you've ever received?
Go ahead, Christy.
The world knows my worst Mother's Day gift. My kids and my husband bought me a massage chair from Sharper Image. They bought themselves a massage chair from Sharper.
I will maintain until my dying day that we did that with pure intentions. We sat there, each of us in the Sharper Image on a different massage chair, looked down at each other and said, "Mom would love this. She's got the stress of dealing with all of us. She would love this." So I promise, Mom, Scouts, you know I was terrible at lying to you guys. I tried it a couple of times and it worked out very poorly. We came into that with pure intentions.
Yes, yes. I believe that you guys had the best intentions. But it was a gift that was really for everyone. And I guess on Mother's Day, I was looking for something that was just for me.
Of course.
And yeah.
Yeah. That chair ended up in me and Jake's room until we moved out of that house.
Somebody bought it at our tag sale, so I don't know where it's at now. But yeah.
And your best?
Oh, God, I don't even know. Like, it's been so overshadowed by the massage chair that I don't even...
See, again, that's the mother of an offensive lineman.
This is true. How about I'll turn the ball over to you.
Okay. So I'm going to do something that's very horrible. I'm just going to, in the vein of telling the truth, all those little homemade trinkets when they were little, oh my God, where am I going to hide this crap later now?
Yes.
Oh, no.
So, okay, but on the other hand, my actual absolute favorite is something like that. But Brandon is a grown man. He's so thoughtful. Like, he's always really intentional in his gift giving and writing what he really feels. And so when they were little, I used to read a book to them, Love You Forever. You know, the one with the grandma, the boy, and all that.
Yeah.
One day, Brandon gave me that book with his, you know, autograph and his personal feelings about me in that book. I swear, that's the best gift I've ever had in my life. So
that's lovely.
Yeah. So I guess you know, the little trinkets end up being something that worked.
Yeah.
Look, Mike and I were talking about this before, and I was like, I don't know what the best one is, but I remember my feelings got hurt the most when I gave my mom a gift. And look, I'm going to say this quick story. We went to Disney World with my dad, and I got this like really cool looking mini coffee mug that I thought was so cool. And I gave it back to my mom. By the way, I'm like 14 at this point in time. I bring it to my mom, and she just looks at me, and she's like, I don't drink coffee. And I was just Oh, but now she drinks that mug and still uses it to this day. So I was like, that reminded me, you got to play the long game sometimes.
You know what? You were just ahead of her. She didn't know.
I didn't know you like coffee. No.
See, I read that as you bullied your mom into drinking coffee, but this is a nice reading of it too.
No, when we talk about being a parent and how we sacrifice everything, now I like coffee because this little boy bought me a mug.
She is so selfless. Selfless. Yes. She'll do anything for you, even drink coffee.
I'll do anything for
that,
you.
No,
Wait. I want to say this before we move on. Brandon, make no mistake about it. Flowers are still my favorite Mother's Day present.
Hint.
Yes, and my birthday.
Yes, thank you.
I do have to say, Mike gives the very best cards. He sends cards and is very thoughtful with them. And yeah, he always makes sure that he writes something nice. Yeah. So it's nice. People appreciate.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
It's kind of a lost art.
Yes.
My wife is a card sender and giver, and she does that even for my side of family, which is great for them.
You still get
it. I'm not really good at it, but he's one to be admired for doing it.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I it's good to know that you actually like the flowers, Mom. I've always thought of it as like a tactic, whatever man in your life could be like, who sent you these flowers? It's like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Who the hell's Brandon?
BJ. BJ sent it to me. Yeah.
BJ sent you these Mother's Day flowers.
Oh my God. Well, with that in mind, as we wrap up here, did just want to say, you know, in all sincerity, happy Mother's Day to both of you. You know, we wouldn't be the young men, Jesus. We wouldn't be the men we are without you guys.
Yes.
We know in everything and what we've talked about, a lot of that load gets put on Mom, and you guys both shouldered it with unbelievable grace somehow against all odds with all of us as your knucklehead kids.
You
so,
all survived.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. We all survived. So no, Mom, love you. Thank you for everything.
Love you too.
You're the backbone of all of it. And I appreciate you continuing to put up with us despite the number of times we drive you to gray hair.
Yep. I keep Ricky in business, my hairdresser. So yeah, it's all good.
And Mom, I love you so much. Thank you for doing this. And even if it was last minute on your calendar, I told you what time we get started. But yeah. No, obviously, you know, I could make it a lot easier on you or harder on you. You take me as I am, and I thank you so much. And you've just always been my biggest fan, and it's gone a long way for me.
Thank you. Yay. You're amazing. It's easy to love you.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing we can definitely both say is we have been blessed with two moms who are the biggest fans of everything that we do at a level that most people could not comprehend. So very lucky.
That's what we do.
It's incredible. Well, moms, thank you both so much. We love you both so much. If everyone loved this podcast, download, subscribe, rate, review. Say something nice about our moms. Tell us something nice about your moms in the comments on the Apple Podcast reviews.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
We want to hear about how much you love your moms. Thanks so
much. Thanks for having us.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, Mom, please don't hang up. I'm stopping the record, but I need you just 1 second.
Boom. Money in the bank.